this morning to look together at the Christian experience. Your experience is like my experience if you've been born again. And we see here in this letter by Paul to the Ephesians this Christian experience that we both share, we all share. And I would like for us to do a little survey this morning of this letter of Paul. And so if you'll follow along with me, we will look at each idea of the chapters individually, and then I want you to hold it up as a template for your own personal experience and see if that is indeed the case. Chapter 1 of Ephesians could be summed up very simply, in Him. Chapter 2, in sin. Chapter 3, in us. Chapter 4, in love. Chapter 5, in light. And chapter 6, in the power of His might. Now, it's quite simple, but that is that's the sum of the spiritual Christian experience that you and I enjoy. Chapter 1, in Him. Chapter 2, in sin. Chapter 3, in us. Chapter 4, in love. Chapter 5, in light. And chapter 6, in the power of His might. First of all, chapter 1 of Ephesians, in Him. Now, this is a position. Those who are in Him are Christians. Those that are not in Him are not Christians. And the question this morning is very simply this: are you in Him? Being in Him is what makes you a Christian. We go to the shopping mall occasionally, as you do as well, and if you go to some place that you're unfamiliar with and you're looking for a particular store, or the restroom, which more likely is the case, you go to this great big directory that is found in various places in the mall, situated in a strategic place, and you look at a map, and there on this map you see the various shops and stores, including the flagship stores, and you can look at this store with the many colored squares, and you can say, well, there's Sears and Roebuck, and there's J.C. Penney, and there's Belk's over here, and here's the Chick-fil-A, and you see where everything is, and they put the map there so you're able to see in one view the whole picture. And you're looking for a particular place that you need to go to, either to buy something or to meet somebody there. And you say, there it is, right there. There's J.C. Penney. There it is, great big green box. But before you can get there, you look for something else. And there on that map is an arrow. You all look for it. Because that's important. Matter of fact, that's the most important right then. And that arrow points to a particular spot on the map, and it's next to it are these words: you are here. Now, in order to know where you're going to go or where you want to go, first you have to know where you are. It doesn't do any good to know that Belk's is over here, or J.C. Penney's is over here, or Sears and Roebuck is over here. You may never get there in some of these great big mega malls unless first you know where you are. And after you figure out where you are, then you can begin to plan out a strategy or a plan to negotiate the chaos and confusion of a mega mall to get to where you want to go. Isn't that the way it is? You first have to find out where you are. You are here. Oh, there I am. I'm right here. Now, if I'm here and I want to get there, now the question is, how do I get there? And so the very first question you need to answer is, where are you? I am here. And I ask you this morning, where are you? Spiritually speaking, where are you? Oh, I'm in South Carolina. Well, that's good. The question is, are you in Him? Are you in Him? That's the most important place to be, is to be in Him. Because Christianity is being in Him. Everyone who is in Him is a Christian. Everyone who is not in Him is not a Christian. And a person who is a Christian is a person who is in Him. Are you in Him? A Christian, someone who is in Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you in Him? You remember when you first entered into the new life experience? It was because now you were in Him. By the way, you remember the Christmas story when the wise men came from the east and they were following the star and they were looking for the King of the Jews? Do you remember? Finally, they came to the city of Jerusalem and they were told to follow the words of Micah and to proceed on to the little village and hamlet of Bethlehem. Remember? And they would find him in a certain place, and they didn't find him in a palace. They found him in humble circumstances. The Bible says the oikos, which is the house. He wasn't born into rich opulence. He was born into humble, poor surroundings. Well, do you remember when he went to his mother and earthly father? Mary and Joseph went to the to the inn, and the Bible says there was no room. There's no room where? There's no room in the inn. See, Jesus was never in the in crowd. Jesus was never in the in crowd. Matter of fact, the in crowd had no room for him. When are we going to get it in our head that in this world, Jesus Christ is never in the in crowd? His mother went to the inn and they said, "We have no room for you in the inn." The world never has room for the Lord Jesus. And there are some young people today who want desperately to be in the in crowd, and I would remind you, first of all, that Jesus Christ was never in the in crowd. There's no room in the in crowd. They said, as a matter of fact, all the rooms are taken. There's no room for you here. If you want, you can go out and back in the stable. And they relegated a little small spot where the animals would feed for the Lord of glory to enter into this world of ours. But wait a minute. After having said that, let me also remind you that the real in crowd are those who are in Christ, in Him. I'm in the in crowd. Now, the world doesn't all know that or appreciate that, but I know that I'm in the in crowd. Why? How are you in the in crowd? I'm in Him. And my friend, that's where it's happening. Christianity can only happen in Him. And either you're in Him or you're not in Him. Simple as that. Excuse me if I get excited about that. I've been in Him some 30 years, and I'm just excited about being in Him. See, I wasn't always in Him. So I know what it's like not to be in Him. And I know what it's like to be in Him. And I like being in Him a whole lot better than I used to like being out of Him. What do you mean? Take a look at it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Hello. Paul is writing to those who are in Christ Jesus, and the question this morning is very simple. Are you in Him? If you are, he's writing to you. Somebody says, well, this letter wasn't really written to the Ephesians. Some scholars say, well, it wasn't. It's a very impersonal letter. Of all the letters that Paul wrote, he does not specifically point out specific individuals, and they say perhaps it was not written to the Ephesians. I personally think that it was. And some say, oh, no, maybe it was written to the Laodiceans, etc. And some of you have picked up different various commentaries, might have picked up on so-called theory. I think it's quite plain. This is written to those who are in him. Are you in him? Yes, and this is written to you. In Christ Jesus. In him. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at it. In Christ. You see, chapter 1 could be labeled in him. Being a Christian means being in him. Simple as that. Are you in Christ? Are you in him? In ancient Israel, there were certain safe places called cities of refuge. A man who needed to escape the wrath and vengeance of vigilantes could find refuge in these cities. Some terrible mistake, and the life was lost. And the wrath and anger of the surviving kin wells up and would strike out at you. They say justice is necessary and vengeance is demanded, and they want to kill you. You say it was an accident, but they won't give you time to explain that. You say, I didn't mean it. There was no hatred or malice in my heart. But they won't listen to reason. They say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You killed my cousin. You killed my brother. You killed my uncle. I'm going to kill you. Now, if you can make it to the city of refuge and get through its gates, you'd be safe. So there were certain places, safe places, set up throughout Israel, that if a person could enter in, he would be free from the vengeance of the vigilantes. Well, if you couldn't make it there and didn't go in, you would be slain. And so the object was to get in, to be safe. If you didn't make it, you were a dead man. When the world fell under the fire, the watery judgment of God in the days of Noah, only those that were in the ark were saved. If you didn't make it into the ark, you were not spared. If you didn't make it into the ark, you drowned. Only 8 people survived. 8 people. Were they smarter than everybody else? Were they taller than everyone else? Were they more beautiful than everyone else? Were they richer than everyone else? No. They were just in the ark. Either you were in or you were not in. Either you were in or you were out. Simple. If you made it in, if you got in, you were saved. If you didn't get in, you're not saved. It's all about being in the in crowd, that is the spiritual in crowd. Now, for 120 years, Noah built, and he was a preacher, the Bible says, of righteousness, but no one listened. They said, you're not in the in crowd. Finally, when he drove the last nail or peg into that boat, and God called Noah to come in, the Bible says God shut the door. The Bible doesn't say that God said go in. The Bible says God said come in. When being in the in crowd is being where God is. God said, Noah, come in. He didn't say, Noah, go in. His salvation was being where God was. And he went in and he was in the in crowd. And being a Christian is being in him. When the death angel marched up and down the streets of Egypt during the first Passover, those who were in the homes that were marked with blood on the doorpost and the lintel were spared. Those that were not in such homes saw the death of their firstborn. Now, either you were in a house that was marked with the blood of faith, or you were not in a house that was marked with the blood of faith. And either you're in or you're out. Where are you this morning? Are you in Him? Are you in Him? Being a Christian means being in Him. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us, look at it. You see it? In Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Everything that is happening in Him. Being a Christian means being in Him. Chosen for the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, look at it, in the Beloved. The in crowd. Christians are in Him. And the first chapter of Ephesians is summed up in Him. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His... In whom? In Him. That's what... See, everything's in Him. Redemption in Him. In whom? In Him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? In Him. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. In whom? In Him. You see, the Christian experience is being in Him. That's where everything is. Everything that's worth anything is in Him. How can I emphasize that anymore? Anything that is worth anything is in Him. Now, I don't know what people owned in the days of Noah, if they had grandma's old china cabinet. But if that wasn't in the ark, it was destroyed. You follow me? Anything that's worth anything is in Him. I don't care how precious you think that thing is, if it's not in the ark, it's going to be swept away by the judgment of God. You follow? That simple thought this morning. See, anything that's worth anything is in Him. Verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What does that mean? It means anything that's worth anything is in Him. filled in Him. All in all. Anything that's worth anything is in Him. Turn with me very quickly to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I grew up in the church. I knew more as a 13-year-old in the Lutheran church than most kids in the assemblies know when they graduate and go away to college. Hello. I memorized Luther's Catechism. I memorized the Apostles' Creed. I knew all the Bible verses. I could tell you the theology. I knew more of the Bible at 13 than a lot of assembly kids know today. But I wasn't saved. I grew up in the church. I was in church every Sunday. Say, we live in Myrtle Beach. There's so much to do in Myrtle Beach. I mean, I grew up in Coney Island. That was the Myrtle Beach of 40 years ago. It was the lights, and it was the glitter, and it was the excitement, and 12 million people from New York City would pour into the place where they would have fun and frivolity. And that would be Coney Island. And I didn't have to pack up the car to go there. My friend, I live there on Neptune Avenue. I knew all about it, but I was in church every Sunday. I wasn't even saved. Hello. Just going to church is not being a Christian. I went to church. I was in the children's choir. Didn't sing very well, but I sang in the choir. And we'd wear these long robes when we sang. I looked good. Didn't sing, but I looked good. But I wasn't saved. I was an acolyte. What does that mean? That means nothing started until I lit the candles. Everybody came in those days, they dressed in their Sunday best. Dressed to the T. Hey, all sitting there waiting, and down I'd walk the aisle, and I'd carry that lighted taper, that flame. Nothing started until I lit that last candle. And then the minister would get up and do his thing, whatever that was. I didn't hear a word. I'd sit in the antechamber on the side behind the organist and kind of watch my clock and wonder when he's going to be finished. And I see some folks in assemblies doing the same things, and my heart breaks. I know that they're assembly folks, but they're lost as could be because they never entered into him. And I sit there in the antechamber and I wait for that fellow to finish, and finally when he'd finish, I know he'd be finished because then the organs go. Ta-da! And I know now's my time. Nobody goes home until I put the lights out. Nobody goes home until I put the lights out. And I'd come out with that thing and they'd play the organ music so nice. And I'd extinguish each flame. I'd turn around, I'd march out. And after I marched out, then they could all stand up and go home. How often wonder what would happen if I didn't put out that last candle. But after that last candle was out, next week come back and do it all over again. Just a ritual. Just a ritual. Is it possible somebody could be in the assembly doing the same thing? Every week going through a ritual? Is it possible? I don't care if you're assembly people. God doesn't care if you're assembly people. You think God gives one iota? The question is, are you in Him? That's the only thing that matters. Are you in Him? And I'm afraid there's some folks that are not in Him. They're in church. They might even be in the, quote, right church. But they're not in Him. Being a Christian is being in Him. What do you mean? Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Broadway on the beach? Oh, okay. Let me get back here. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go thereat. Whoa. For some other time, I wish I could explore the idea about the people who have the crowd don't have the message, and the people who have the message don't have the crowd. You go to Alabama tonight, and you're going to see a place packed out. They don't have the message. They have the crowd. Why is that? Well, the Bible tells us why. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Come to the broad way on the beach. And people say, hey, I like that. And they go down there, drove, they pay good money, and this morning is for free. Why is that? Because narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Now take a look at the first word in verse 13. Enter ye in. Enter ye in. Have you entered in? You see, I was 21 years old and I had never entered into Christ. Oh, I'd entered into church a thousand times. But it wasn't until I was born again that I entered into Him. In Vietnam, I was a combat photographer. I was what they called in country back in those days. Stomping around in the jungles, trying to keep alive, taking pictures with the 101st Airborne Division and the 25th Division. Just a kid. 18 years old. Kids today at 18 years old are still wet behind the ears. Don't know which way is up or down, in or out. But at that 30 years ago, they took an 18-year-old kid, put a rifle in his hand, and sent him and dropped him off the helicopter in the middle of a jungle firefight. Talk about growing up real quick. I grew up real quick. I came home from that war really messed up. War can make a person crazy. About the madness we're talking about this morning. And had no peace. I brought the war back with me and it was in my heart. Lots of people have war in their heart. And it's always striking out at different people. And somebody told me about Jesus. And my need to be born again. And as best I knew how, as an NCO in the United States Army in a room in Miami, Florida, where I was all by myself, I got down on my knees after having heard the gospel. And a young 21-year-old Lutheran asked the Lord Jesus to forgive him for all of his sins, to save him. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I stepped out of a raging war and into Him. And with that, all the fullness that the Bible speaks of here in Ephesians chapter 1 that are in Him, the most pronounced. And the first thing I sensed when I stepped into Him, different with everybody, was the peace that passes all understanding. I found peace. Now, I know lots of Vietnam veterans never found peace, and they're still kind of messed up. They look for peace in alcohol, look for peace in drugs, look for peace in wild living. And you can find it there. It's in Him. The question this morning is, are you in Him? Anything that's worth anything is in Him. Being Christian is being in Him. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verse number 9. I love the way the Bible is so simple. I went 7 years to a Bible college and seminary. I know a little bit about theology. I know a little bit about ancient languages because I had to study that. Never did like it much. I like the way the Bible's so simple. Theologians have a way of making it complicated. Theologians have a way of placing something just beyond the reach of a little child. You can't reach it when they get through with it because they put it up on a high shelf. God puts it on a place where we can get it. He puts it down low. Somebody says, I can't understand the new birth. I can't understand salvation. I can't understand this born-again business. On the one hand, I'll say you're right, because the Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. On that point, you're right. But, so that no one could blame God that he went to hell, God put it down there so simple so that anybody could understand it. Gomer Pyle could understand it. Those that don't know who Gomer Pyle is, that means that Forrest Gump could understand it. John chapter 10, and verse number 9. I am the door. I can go back there and ask one of the little 2.5-year-olds, do you know what a door is? They'll point. They'll say, that's a door. Everybody knows what a door is. Nobody in the whole wide world has an excuse for not going to heaven. That's too much theology. I can't understand what this is about, transubstantiation or consubstantiation. What about propitiation? It's just too complicated to me. There are some things that are deep. There are some things that are deep. But not everyone enters into Christianity or into faith by jumping off of a high board. Some enter in at the kiddie pool. And here's the kiddie pool right here. For us that are afraid of high places. I am the door. You know what a door is? Yes, I do. Well, good. And you know how to be saved because Jesus said, oh, I am the door. Look at it. By me, if any man enter in. Now you can stand there looking at that door all day. Jesus is the door. I know my Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 9, He's the door. I grew up all my life knowing that. My theology is correct. He is the door. You could stand there all day and talk about the door, sing about the door, look at the door. Jesus said, if any man by me, what? What? Enter in. 21 years I heard about the door. Sang about the door. Painted the door. I even held the door. But I didn't enter in. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, what? He shall be saved. Doesn't say he might be saved. Doesn't say he might make it. It says he will be saved. Christianity is being in him. That's where it's happening. You remember a day when you entered in? If any man, any man? Yes, any man. You mean an ignorant, crude, rude, barbarian? Careful now, you're talking about my relatives. Yeah. My relatives on one side of the family were Vikings. They're worse than the Dutch. They had horns on their heads and they went around these boats burning down villages and ravaging the whole northern Europe. Those Vikings. They were barbarians. I should be astounded that a barbarian like me can enter in until I find this text where God Almighty Himself said, if any man by me enter in. What? He shall be saved. How do I know I'm saved? 30 years ago, I said, not any man, but this man. By faith. I trust in the Lord Jesus. And by so doing, I enter in. Have you done that? Well, I'm so glad. But there are lots of others that are not in that ark yet. We have a great time painting the boat. but the boat's there for a reason. We want others to enter in. Not to our church or our assembly. Some may enjoy our fellowship and our presence, but more importantly, to enjoy His fellowship and His presence and to be in Him. Father, thank You for so great salvation. Thank You for the day that it dawned on us that we were out and needed to be in. I pray for everyone that's here this morning. They might examine their own life and see that they are in Him. And if they're not, pray that they might enter in through the One who called Himself the Door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all.